One voice, one line, no harmony, no accompaniment. Just a single melody floating in the stone silence of a medieval church. That's where Western music begins. And for centuries, that's all there was. But sometime around the 9th century, someone had an idea that would change everything. What if a second voice sang at the same time? That simple question. What happens when voices overlap led to counterpoint, the most intellectually demanding and structurally rich technique in all of Western music. Counterpoint is the art of combining independent melodies so that they make harmonic sense together, while each one remains a valid, interesting melody on its own. It's music as conversation. Today you're going to learn to hear that conversation, to follow separate voices simultaneously, and to understand the structures that hold them together. Let's trace the evolution. What you just heard was monophony, a single voice, unaccompanied. The word literally means one sound. This was the sound of European music for roughly 1,000 years. Now let's jump forward to the Renaissance, the 15th and 16th centuries. And hear what happened when composers mastered the art of combining multiple independent voices.
Hear the difference? Multiple voices, each singing its own melody, weaving in and out. One voice begins a phrase, another voice picks it up a few beats later at a different pitch, then a third enters and a fourth. The voices imitate each other. They share the same melodic material, but they're independent. No voice is just accompaniment. Every line is a real melody. That's polyphony. And the technique of writing those interlocking melodies is counterpoint. Now there's a third texture you should be able to distinguish. Homophony. This is melody plus accompaniment. One main voice that sings the tune, and the others support it with chords. Most pop music, most hymns, and a lot of classical era music is homophonic. The difference between polyphony and homophony is the difference between a conversation among equals and a speech with backup singers. Both are valid, but they ask very different things of your ear. The simplest form of counterpoint is the canon, what you might know as a round. Row, row, row your boat is a canon. One voice starts the melody, and a second voice enters a few beats later with the exact same melody. The genius is that the melody has to harmonize with itself at the delay. Not every melody can do this. The composer has to design it so that when line 1 reaches bar 3, it sounds good against line 2 still in bar 1. Pachelbel's canon in D, which you heard in the harmony lecture, is exactly this. Three violins play the same melody, each entering a few bars after the last, over a repeating bass line. Simple in concept. But Bach took the canon and did something extraordinary with it.
In his Goldberg variations, every third variation is a canon, and each one is at a different interval. Variation 3 is a canon at the unison. The second voice enters at the same pitch. Variation 6 is a canon at the second. The second voice enters a whole step higher. Variation 9 is a canon at the third. All the way up to variation 27, a canon at the ninth. Let me play you the first canon, variation 3, so you can hear two voices doing the same thing a beat apart.
Two voices, the right hand and the left hand. One of them is shadowing the other at a short delay. Can you hear the leader and the follower? The upper voice states a figure, and the lower voice imitates it a bit or two later. They interlock like gears. And underneath both of them, a bass line provides the harmonic foundation. This is a three-layer texture, two canonic voices plus a bass. Now let me play variation 6, the canon at the second. The follower voice enters one whole step higher than the leader. This is harder to write because the intervals between the two voices keep shifting. Harder to hear the imitation, isn't it? The follower is at a different pitch level, so the melody sounds slightly different, even though the intervals are the same. Bach does this for every third variation across the entire set, 9 canons in total, each at a wider interval, each more technically demanding. It's a systematic exploration of what's possible when one melody chases itself.
Now, the fugue. If the canon is counterpoint's simplest structure, the fugue is its cathedral. A fugue begins with a single voice stating a melody called the subject. Then a second voice enters with the same subject, usually at the fifth. This entry is called the answer. While the second voice plays the answer, the first voice continues with new material called the counter-subject. Then a third voice enters with the subject, and so on. Once all voices have entered, the fugue unfolds through episodes, passages of development and modulation, and stretti, where the subject entries pile up closer and closer together, creating climactic density.
I know that sounds complicated as a description. It's much clearer when you hear it. Let's listen to the fugue from Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor. The toccata is the free improvisatory section, you know. The dramatic cascading opening. Then the fugue begins, and you'll hear the subject stated alone, then the answer entering, then the third voice. I let it play so you can track the entries. Thank you.
Did you catch the entries? The subject, a descending figure, angular and dramatic, appeared first alone, then a second voice picked it up while the first continued with new material, then the third voice entered below. From that point on, the three voices are in continuous conversation. Sometimes one has the subject, sometimes they're all developing fragments of it. Sometimes they pile on top of each other. That piling up, entries getting closer and closer together, is stretto, and it's how fugues build to their climaxes.
Here's what's important for your listening. You don't have to follow every voice perfectly. Even professional musicians lose track in a complex fugue. What matters is that you can hear that there are multiple independent lines happening simultaneously, and that they are all related to the same musical idea. The subject is the DNA. Everything else grows from it.
Counterpoint didn't end with Bach.
Let me show you one of the most extraordinary uses of counterpoint in all of music. The finale of Mozart's Symphony No. 41, The Jupiter. Mozart takes five different themes and, in the coda, combines all five simultaneously in a fugal texture. Five melodies, all at once, all making harmonic sense. It's sometimes called the greatest single achievement in counterpoint since Bach. Listen for the density, the sheer number of melodic ideas happening at the same time.
That blaze of counterpoint at the end. Five themes layered. The brass punching out one melody, the violins racing through another, the woodwinds weaving a third. It's Mozart showing that he can do everything Bach could, but within the symphonic format, with a full orchestra. It's a moment of pure intellectual joy, translated into sound.
So, how do you develop the ability to follow multiple voices?
Practice. Start with two voices. Bach's two-part inventions are the traditional starting point, though they're not in your library. What is in your library is the Goldberg Variations. In the canons, there are only two melodic voices plus bass. That's manageable. Try to follow just one of the two canonic voices through an entire variation. Then listen again and follow the other. Then try to hear both at once. It's like learning to watch two tennis matches simultaneously. At first, it seems impossible, but your brain adapts.
One helpful trick. Listen for the entries. In a fugue or canon, every time the subject appears, it's like a character walking on stage. You might lose track of them during the busy middle sections, but when they re-enter with the subject, you can find them again. Track the entrances, and the rest fills in over time.
This lecture connects directly to the voice-leading lecture, which explains the rules governing how individual notes move between voices, the grammar of counterpoint.
It connects to the Bach composer portrait, where we'll explore his contrapuntal genius in depth. It connects to the forms track. The fugue is one of the major forms we'll study. And it connects to the timeline, where you'll hear counterpoint evolve from Renaissance vocal polyphony through Bach's instrumental mastery to its reappearance in the 20th century. Shostakovich wrote 24 preludes and fugues in direct homage to Bach.
Check yourself. I'll play a short excerpt from a Bach fugue. How many independent voices can you count? Don't worry about being precise. Even approximating is good. Just try to hear whether there are 2, 3, or 4 separate lines happening at once. Three. There are 3 independent voices in this fugue. You might have heard 4 at one point because the bass line doubled momentarily, but the structural voice count is 3, a high voice, a middle voice, and a low voice, each with its own melodic line. If you got 3, excellent. If you got 2 or 4, that's still a good sign. You are hearing the texture as layered rather than unified, and that's the skill we're building.
Your assignment. Listen to the Goldberg Variations, album number 12 in your library, but just the first 10 tracks. That's the aria and variations 1 through 9. Pay special attention to variations 3, 6, and 9. Those are the canons. In each one, try to hear 2 voices doing the same thing offset in time, like an echo that's melodically identical to the original. In variation 3, the follower enters at the same pitch. In variation 6, a step higher. In variation 9, a step higher still. Each one is a little harder to hear. Take your time. Listen to each canon 2 or 3 times. The ability to hear independent voices is a muscle, and this is the best possible exercise. I'll see you next time.